morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. It is an honor to be here with you all in the sanctuary, and it is an honor for those of you joining us at home and wherever you might be today. Thank you for turning on for worship today. I would like to let you guys know that later on in the service, we will invite you to participate in communion with us. And if you are here, we have the little communion cups kind of spaced out on the chairs, the prepackaged communion. So if you didn't get one, there's one a couple seats down from you. And if you are at home, I invite you to prepare a small cup and a small piece of bread to join in with us if you'd like to for communion. I hope that you had a great week and a great weekend and maybe caught some sports. I don't know. And I hope that you have another great week coming up. Let's turn our hearts and minds to worship now. Take a moment with me. Let's be silent for one moment and prepare for worship. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Come, bless the Lord with me.
For the Lord is like a parent to his children.
Compassionate and merciful, filled with endless love.
God forgives our sins and heals the sickness inside us.
God surrounds us with love and grace and fills our lives with good things.
Let's worship God together. I invite you to stand in spirit or in stature as we continue to worship.
Lord God, we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you for who you are, great and mighty God. Lord, we do pray that you grant us wisdom, grant us courage as we serve you, as we welcome you with us this morning, as we seek your wisdom, may we take it, becoming more like you. Lord, again, we come and adore you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
That is my all-time favorite praise song. Gosh, I loved that. Thank you all. Boys and girls, I invite you to join me for children's time at home. Take a moment and come around the computer and the TV and let's have a little chat. First of all, I want to say thank you for those of you who came out to Kite Night on Friday. It was so fun to see your sweet faces and your parents and your families and flying the kites. And some of you are amazing kite flyers. I didn't know we had such hidden talent here at Second B. So thanks for coming and showing off your skills. I want to talk to you today about a subject I don't really like. It's not one of my favorites, and it's really, I take it personally, and it's a hard one for me. Forgiveness. It's not fun. There are times, boys and girls, let's just get it out. There are times from here all the way to here throughout your life that someone is going to do something or say something that harms you or hurts your feelings, or there are times from your life from here to here that you are going to do something or say something that harms or hurts somebody's feelings. And so we just have to talk about it. We're going to have to get it out. So I was thinking about our scripture today, and in the scripture at the beginning, it just says, Peter came to him and said, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven, but 77. Y'all, the Bible says that we must forgive way more than we think we should, right? Not seven times, but 77 times. So I was thinking about that. And as children growing up, I'm certain that some of you out there have probably made some not great choices in your young lives, right? You've probably done some things. Maybe some of you have written on the walls at your house. Have you ever written your name on the wall? Maybe you've spilled some nail polish on the carpet in the living room or in the basement. Maybe your mom bought a brand new white Expedition and you got a red drink in the third row and spilled it all the way across the floor the very next day that she bought the car. I don't know if that was Mason Gal or no, but that's okay too. Those are things that we do. And guess what? Your parents, thank the Lord, forgive you, right? Can you imagine if they held all these grudges against you of all the things you've done since you were a teeny tiny tot, right, throughout your entire life? I don't know that they would ever look at us in the face if they couldn't forgive us. And guess what? By the very end of that day, or maybe through the middle of the night, they've prayed about it and they've chosen to forgive that action and to forgive you, right? So they can keep on loving you and go on and start with a clean slate the very next day. And that is what the Bible says that we are supposed to do to others. So there are going to be times this year at school when somebody says something not great about you, or something happens in the cafeteria and it didn't go the way you wanted it to go and you're grumpy about it through recess. But the Bible says that you're supposed to forgive that person and forgive that act. So I want you to think about that this year as you go about it, especially when you harm somebody and you wrong them, you will expect the same thing from them. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy for me and it's not easy for these people here, but we all do it. And God wants us to do it because God loves us no matter what. Boys and girls, I hope you have a great week at school and I hope to see you all again soon. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for showing us forgiveness and for showing us love. Lord, it isn't easy. Our feelings get hurt. We remember things and it's hard to forget them, but help us to forgive the act and for the person, Lord, and love them. We love you. Thank you so much for sharing your love with us. It is in your most holy name we pray. Amen.
Created the heavens.
Pray these words of confession with me. Merciful God, we are quick to ask for grace when we have fallen short. Patience. Why are we so slow to show the same mercy to others? Rather than offering the forgiveness that could free others and ourselves, so we kneel before you once again to ask for forgiveness, patience, and grace. Transform us, we pray. I invite you to stand as you're able as we continue to worship.
The gospel reading is from Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him his debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay me what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported him to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you have not had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
The grace of God is extravagant. Yeah. I think that I believe this with most of my heart. I believe deeply that this is at the very center of our entire tradition. The grace of God is extravagant. And the grace of God is borderline ridiculous. Peter Rollins tells the story of a man who came to talk to the pastor down the street, and he told this pastor about a family that he knew of who was facing extremely difficult time. The man told the pastor that this family had lost income, and because of this loss of income, they were now behind on bills. Because of this loss of income, they were not able to get all the medication they needed in a given month. Because of this loss of income, certainly there was less and less food at the table each night for dinner. This man told the pastor that he was certain that very, very soon this family would likely be evicted from their apartment. And so this man asked the pastor, "Can you and the church, can you all help this family?" And the pastor, without reservation or hesitation, said, "Yes, yes. And I just want you to know, because of your generosity, because of your sacrifice, because of your exceeding kindness, every single week do we have the pleasure and the honor to respond to similar circumstances in our community and our city. Thanks be to God for your gifts and for our faithfulness as a people to share the Lord's resources with those who are hurting in our city for food, for help with bills, for help with food. And so this pastor, honoring the dignity of this family, wanting to not to embarrass them, asked some volunteers to just drop off not just food, but items of comfort, to do so anonymously, just to set it there on the door, to knock and to go away. And the church administrator called the power company and told them the address of this family and was able to catch the family up on all their bills and even pay a credit towards the upcoming month. And the pastor, wanting to prevent this imminent eviction, called the apartment complex church, the finance office. And calling the apartment office, the pastor was surprised to hear that original man who had told him the story on the end of the line. A little bit perplexed and surprised, the pastor said, "Wait a second, just tell me how you know about this family and this imminent eviction that you told me of." And the man responded, "Well, that's easy. I'm the landlord." Yeah. Yeah, people are ridiculous. People are this kind of ridiculous all the time. And here's how I know. Because I are one, and you are one too. Now, in theological, literary terms, in trying to interpret a parable of Christ, we would use tools like hyperbole, allegory, metaphor. These are constructs that help us understand the teachings, particularly the parables of Jesus. But today, I prefer a more simple word, and that word is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous story. It is verse 26 this week that has captivated me in this telling about what the kingdom of God is really like. It is verse 26 that this one whose family is going to be sold to pay the debt, this slave and servant is facing his own family to be sold to pay off this extravagant, ungodly amount that he owes to his Lord and Master, which is an interpretive hint to us. Jewish code did not allow for the selling of Jewish families to pay off debt. We are once again with Jesus talking about outsiders, aren't we? And so it is this outsider slave who says to his master, to his Lord, he says, "Just be patient. Just give me a little more time." And this Lord and this master says, "Patience is not that which I will give to you, for I am ridiculous." I am ridiculous and will forgive all of the debt. Here's the kicker for me. Without you even asking. Yeah. And who to you, my brothers and sisters, has been ridiculous? Who to you, my brothers and sisters, is an outsider? Who has wronged you and owes you and hasn't even given an apology? The grace of God is extravagant, and it is borderline ridiculous. Yeah. Peter, just before the telling of this parable, wants to know just how far this ridiculousness goes. And so Peter, like any good religious person, decides, "I will negotiate," right? Isn't this how all good conversations with God go? Is let's start with a high number, Jesus. Let's start with 7. Surely 7 is too many times to forgive a person. But if I start high, we can negotiate. 6 sounds a little bit high. 5, still too high. 4, no one uses 4. 3 is a Christian number. Jesus, do you think it's okay if we forgive people 3 times? I know you and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you guys love this number. Can we forgive people 3 times? And Jesus says, "I'm not that extravagant. I'm ridiculous. I'm not as extravagant to ask you to forgive your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your friend, your aunt, your uncle, that person who drives you crazy. I'm not that extravagant to ask you to forgive them seven times. I'm asking you to forgive them 70 times seven. Matthew, likely the most Jewish of our Gospels, I believe here is possibly referring to Lamech. Lamech, as I was told in East Texas growing up, but maybe Lamech is a better pronunciation. It does not do well on the TV, I know that. Probably doesn't do well in person, but you don't know that, so it's okay. Lamech, in Genesis 4, in this great prehistory, Lamech, in the story, in the narrative of Abel and Cain, Lamech, to his two wives, sings this wonderful song and says, if Cain has been avenged seven times, then Lamech, me, I will be avenged 77 times. Don't you know that vengeance is wonderful pillow talk? And that's just free for you, you know, to use later at your own discretion. No, this is a moment. This early prehistory reveals to us a story that flows throughout all of the scriptures, and it is a human story. It is the myth of redemptive violence. If you hurt me, then I will hurt you just a little bit more. Yeah. If Cain's avenged sevenfold, then Lamech is avenged 77-fold. If you bomb us, we bomb you quite a bit more. If you protest, well, then we'll protest your protest, won't we? And then there will be others who protest our protest, protesting your protest. And then all this protesting of the original protest, we won't know who's counter-protest, we won't know what's going on, and all of it will just spiral out of control, leading ultimately to more gravestones. Violence and violation spiral. This is the great myth, human story, the great myth of redemptive violence. This is the story our egos so often want to tell. And Jesus, in response to this story, says, love thine enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive. Forgive, not just in an extravagant amount. Be a person of forgiveness that is borderline ridiculous. Yeah. In apartheid South Africa, there was a family. And because of, just imagine, it may be hard to imagine a setting in which racial reconciliation and racial violence spirals out of control. Can you even imagine such a setting? And soldiers and a commander committing atrocities and genocide at a massive level executed a son of this one family. Even further, they burned digging a mass grave of incineration. And this family sought justice in a time in which justice was hard to achieve. And instead of justice, this family received a double dose of tragedy, having lost the son, now the commander, the soldiers, trying to cover up previous injustices, spiraling out of control as violence and violation does. They inflicted the same harm to this husband and to this father. And a woman was left without her son, and she was left without her husband. And the Truth and Reconciliation Coalition, years later in South Africa, recognizing the wrongs that it had done to one another, to brother, to sister, to neighbor, to friend, prosecuting these soldiers, particularly this one commander, stating that they were guilty of genocide in their own home country, found this particular commander guilty. And before sentencing at the trial, the judge asked the widowed mother and spouse, she said, is there anything that you would like from this process? And this woman, now blind and elderly, said, I'd like three things. I'd like three things. First, I would like for these people to take me to the place in which my husband and my son are buried so I can gather up the ashes and give them a proper burial. Second, I am now a person who has no family, and I still have a whole lot of love to give. And so I ask the court to require these men to come to my home twice a month so that I can be a mother to them. Third, I would like for these men to know that they are forgiven by God. And I would ask now that a clerk in the court walk me to where these men are seated so that I can let them know that I have forgiven them too. And as she is escorted from one side of the court to the other, a friend in the back began to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yeah, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. The grace of God is extravagant and borderline ridiculous. And that's what this table represents. Yeah, extravagant, ridiculous grace. And it's been a while, hasn't it? It's been a while since we've gathered around the table. It's been a while since we've communed together and with Christ in this way. And I wonder, has it been a while that you've been holding on to a grudge? Has it been a while? Yeah, I confess to you, my brothers and my sisters, I confess to you that I hold a couple grudges even right now. I carry them around with some strange sense of pride and shame. They're tokens to me of how right I am, and how can you imagine how wrong they are? Yeah. I confess to you that I carry these grudges. I confess to you that I have bought and sold copies of the myth of redemptive violence. Yeah. I confess to you that there is forgiveness that I'm ready and willing to offer to a brother, sister, to a neighbor, to a friend. I have forgiveness to give, and I confess to you, I've just been waiting for an apology. How long, oh Lord? Yeah. I confess to you that most often, I may be, in some respect, willing and ready to accept the extravagant, ridiculous grace of God, but most often, I would just prefer to earn it myself. I confess to you that I have not loved my enemies. I have not prayed for those who gossip against me. I confess to you that I have not forgiven three times, much less seven times. And I'm not even going to touch that 70 times seven bit. I confess this to you. I confess that this parable convicts and comforts me. Will you receive that comforting, convicting? Will you receive that extravagant and ridiculous grace of God? Will you come to the table of forgiveness? As you're able, I invite you to pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you're at home, we invite you now to gather around the table, to grab bread and cup. As you're able now, I invite you to take in a strange time what may seem strange, but that which is also timeless. If you'll peel the top off, take the bread, representing the extravagant, ridiculous grace of Christ, who, the night before he was betrayed, gathered around the table and shared bread with those whom he knew had already betrayed him, who would soon deny him, and who would soon not believe the word about his resurrection. And upon his cross that next day, in which his body was broken, he looked at these very same people and said, "God, forgive them. Receive." You'd carefully take the cup. Cocktail napkins only needed for those of us who are klutzes. If you'll take the cup, representing not just the sacrifice of Christ, but when we've experienced this forgiveness, there is newness, there is new life, there is resurrection. Receive the new life of Christ.
You pray with me. Father, today I admit that I am way too focused on numbers. I watch numbers everywhere. I watch the COVID numbers. I watch the poll numbers. I watch the stock numbers. I watch my checkbook numbers. I watch numbers all day long. And I tend to judge others by those numbers. Father, I'm so very, very thankful that you have thrown out the credit and debit accounting book, that you refuse to look at numbers, that you look at us, you look at me, and you know that I need grace and forgiveness. Not because I deserve it, but because you love all of us so much. Father, I thank you for that. And I find it indeed amazing. Thank you, Father, for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Stand.